This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
This is the official fight music anthem. If you see somebody you don't like, tell them stand up.
Hey, I hit him, then I split him, I get him for the dough. Pickpocket a nigga before I lay him across the floor. It's the Rock Town. You motherfuckers lay it down. We pound for pound. Illest niggas out ain't fucking around. This ain't the WCW or the NWO. It's reality. We're casually kicking your dough. Or we can switch to the Mortal Kombat. My niggas will come back, ready for combat. I spin it, spilling me, killing these niggas is wrong. But what should I do? They tryna take me off my throne. I'll put my foot through the side of your head. Your homies threw in the towel, they decided you dead. City decided to flare, but you decided to fight. Fight, one hit to the head, knocking out your lights. We can clash clans, or we can clash crews. After we clash your mans, then we gon' clash you.
Hit that, nigga, kick that, nigga. Talking that shit, better get back, nigga. Whack that, nigga, crack that, nigga.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Man Up Podcast. We're coming at you after our extended hiatus. I'm sure, you know, everyone knows how it is. It's the summertime and stuff like that, so we really didn't get around to recording a podcast on a regular schedule like I had wanted, but, you know, hopefully that's a change, and we definitely had to make some time to do a podcast after that huge monumental event that went down over the weekend, of course, UFC 86. But before we get into that, just to remind you, in case it's the first time or you've, you know, forgot over that, hiatus again, I am your host, Afton Sloan, being joined, as always, by my brother, Shane. How you doing today, dude?
Doing pretty good. We just come off a huge night of fights. A lot of craziness went down, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, but before we get into that, I just wanted to quickly go over like a couple news stories here. You know, not a lot, but this has something to do with the fighter that was going to fight at UFC 86. Of course, Josh Koscheck. Apparently, he's saying that he wants BJ Penn at 155. Man, he is claiming that he would be willing to drop to 155 to fight Penn if there's no one else there for him to take on. What do you have to say about that?
Is it just some sort of personal grudge he has against BJ Penn, or does he just...
No, he's just saying he's a businessman, and he's saying, you know, he's kind of trying to say that there's no one left at 155, man, for Penn to take on. There's no exciting matchups, so he would drop down and fight Penn.
I don't think that's the case at all. I think there is some good fights there. I think, you know, you got guys like... well, we just seen it, you know, Tyson Griffin, who was victorious last night. I think right there is a pretty good matchup, and I think Roger Huerta is also, you know, a pretty good matchup. He's got the fight coming up, Kenny Florian, who's another good matchup. So I think there's still some fights left at 155. I mean, there's certainly nothing as big as, you know, Sean Sherk versus BJ Penn, but there's some good fights left. I don't think Koscheck, you know, necessarily needs to drop down just to save that division. I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, it would probably be a pretty good fight, you know, but I don't think the lightweight division is so tapped out at this point. I think there's a lot of young talent just waiting to emerge in that division. You know, I'm a big fan of Clay Guida. You know, I'd always love to see him get in there and go, but I don't think he's in line for a title shot, certainly not at this point.
Clay Guida keeps himself in good shape these days. You always see him, you know, bouncing around outside the WEC events and stuff like that, dude, right at cage side.
Well, I mean, he's, you know, he likes to keep his name out there, keep his face out there, you know. He's got great cardio, man. He's just always going 110%, dude. He can't always sit still.
All right, let's talk about this second question. This is, of course, about former UFC veteran and now WEC featherweight contender Leonard Garcia. As you know, if you've been listening to the podcast when we reported on this, when it happened, he was involved in a drug trafficking case. Basically, it was about trafficking cocaine into the United States. I think he was in a high speed chase on his motorcycle with the, you know, with the police and stuff. But he posted this on his MySpace recently, and it says, "I just wanted to post this to let everyone know that I have had the federal charges dropped. I'm still dealing with the state, but the charges aren't as serious as they seem, so I hope to be back in the cage soon, real soon. I'm just waiting on my excellent manager, Stephen Boogie Bean, to get that straightened out for me. I'm going to be the WEC lightweight champ soon. This is something I feel strongly about, so I'm telling everyone this is my goal and my dream, and that is what I'm going to do. I will give it all to do what I'm going to do."
Sounds very well written from what you read there. Yeah. Where exactly, I mean, what undisclosed location is he writing this from? I mean, is he has he been apprehended?
I think he made bail, dude. Oh, I think it was like quite a bit though, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the guy's supposedly a talented fighter. You never like to see these guys, you know, ruin their lives getting involved in drug trafficking and things like that. So hopefully he gets himself straightened out, gets back in the cage. He's a fairly talented fighter, you know. So
yeah.
I think is he not, at least at one time, I think he was probably top 10 ranked.
Who, Garcia in the featherweight?
No, lightweight, didn't he? Or did he?
I don't know.
Or did he step up?
Maybe, I don't know about that. What do you mean step up? What are you talking about?
You said he said he wants to compete for the WEC lightweight championship.
Either he just put that wrong or not, dude. I mean, he was competing in the featherweight division there, but I don't know. I mean, he competed in lightweight in the UFC, of course, because it's the lowest division they had, but he's a natural 145er, so I don't understand. You know, maybe he thinks that lightweight title is more attainable than beating Uriah Faber. I don't know, but, you know.
That's probably the truth, to be honest with you, but.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about UFC 86, of course, that went down this weekend. Huge main event. We pitted the coaches from the Ultimate Fighter Season 7. Of course, that's Quentin Jackson taking on Forrest Griffin. And I got to say, man, this was a very shocking event. But not to give anything away, man, what are kind of your overall feelings on this card, though?
I thought it was a pretty good card top to bottom. I think a lot of the fights on the undercard here were pretty, I don't want to say boring, but they weren't, you know, they weren't necessarily crowd praisers. There's only one stop. Yeah, Cote went to the decision on that too. I was trying to think, was there a stoppage in that? So I mean, you had three out of the four fights going to decisions. Wasn't anything extremely exciting. There's some good little scraps in there, but the main event really blew it out of the water. I mean, it was extremely exciting, intense, good fight. So I think that really put a huge exclamation point on what was a pretty solid card.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the prelims, of course, that we got to see, but these were not shown on the pay-per-view. The first one that we're going to talk about is Corey Hill versus Justin Buchholz. Corey Hill is a legendary fighter that has dominated, you know, greats such as Golden Toe or Golden Boot or whatever that story was, man.
Yeah, he crushes guys that walk into, AKA, where he trains at, just guys walking off the street with point karate gear on and stuff.
I think it was at Militage, though. I'm not sure.
Maybe. I thought it was like AKA or something. But anyway, he limited experience in the cage. He's only 2-0. His official record as a pro. Though you would have to say he's probably the favorite coming in against Justin Buchholz. A lot of hype behind this Corey Hill guy. He's just like one of the most awkward looking guys. I mean, he's like, seriously, it looks like a, you know, if you just, the wind blew real hard, it would just blow this guy away. He looks like a stick figure, but he's insanely tall.
He's over 6 feet tall, one of the tallest competitors in that lightweight division. And, you know, for a man to be that tall and that lower weight, I mean, he's a skeleton, basically, man. He looks freakish. It looks weird. He looks awkward fighting someone at that. I mean, he was just, I don't know. It's hard to describe without saying him. So definitely, if you can, you need to see this fight because this is one of the most awkward looking fighters I've ever seen in my life. But he was doing good early on, man. I mean, Justin Buchholz was having a lot of trouble with that height. This kid was, striking him from a long distance. But, he really held in there, man. I mean, a lot of people on the internet and everything were basically, this is a laugher of a fight. They thought Corey Hill was going to come in here and roll this guy. He's been hyped up so big. It's Justin Buchholz was just, a guy from Alaska fighting championships who's unheralded. And, dude, he held in there. The guy's tough. And insanely exciting to me personally, it was when this guy actually come out in the second round and started landing some shots. He started scoring some big-time shots on him. I think he hit a high kick that kind of stunned him. He knocks him down, and then he transitions from being on his back to side control and then jumping on that guy's back, and it's kind of instantaneous. As soon as he lands on Corey Hill's back, he sinks in that rear naked choke and amazingly taps him out, 357 of the second round. Again, it's shocking. Justin Buchholz taps out Corey Hill to rear naked choke.
Yeah, I mean, the first round and a half looked like it was all Corey Hill. Corey Hill was just fighting like this guerrilla warfare style. He would just run, he'd just wait kind of back, and then he'd come in with a big flurry with those long arms and just mixing up stances, switching from traditional like stance to southpaw, just back and forth, just whooping on poor Justin Buchholz. But then, after he hit that big high kick, that kind of turned the tide from him. Like you said, though, I mean, it was actually, Hill had him in side control. Buchholz was able to transition out of that to kind of side, mount, and then got on his back and, tapped him pretty quickly with a rear naked choke. Justin Buchholz, though, he got a pretty good teacher, a good guy working with him. The guy we just mentioned, the WEC featherweight champion Uriah Faber, and he said that's kind of one of the things that Faber, it was all about, teaching him how to transition to that, rear naked choke and hook it in the manner that he used to win this fight. Big comeback, though, for Buchholz, who looked like he was just totally outmatched and really pulled off a great comeback in the second round.
All right, let's talk about this next fight. We got Melvin, the young assassin, Gillard, taking on Dennis Suver.
How long can you really be considered the young assassin? I think Melvin Gillard's got like 40-some fights.
There's other people with the assassin, so you're the young assassin until you kind of come into your own, and then it is to be Melvin, the assassin, Gillard.
So until the old assassin retires, he must be the young assassin?
Yeah, I think that's kind of how it works, man. I think basically he has to wait till like Houston, the assassin Alexander, gets out of the UFC, and then he might be able to take that. But anyway, Melvin Gillard basically summed someone up. It's a 36-second destruction, windmill style. I mean, as soon as the fight starts, he decks him, jumps all over him, lets him up, then jumps all over him again, TKOs him, knocks him out cold, basically. And Seaver, takes several minutes to get back up off the ground. So Melvin Gillard wins by TKO, 36 seconds of the first round.
Yeah, just total destruction. It wasn't even really close at any point. I mean, it was just Gillard just from the opening bell just popped him and just, quickly and systematically just took him apart and left him laying on the mat.
Yeah. All right, let's move on, man. Now we got this rather intriguing matchup, I was thinking, man, coming into this. Of course, we're talking about George Griselle versus Cole Miller. We all know George Griselle, is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, man. I hear he's pretty good at it, but would you care to go ahead and break down the game plan of George Griselle?
His Jiu-Jitsu skills are much like, it's in the same category as Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. All right, there's been some sightings, but there's no substantiated claims that this man has any jiu-jitsu skills, okay? Because all he wants to do is just stand and bang in this entire fight. And that's what he did in this fight, too. He stands the bank.
Listen, man, he said he was going to stick to the game plan this time.
Well,
okay,
so the game
look,
plan
they just got wise. They're like, we gave him bad game plans. He won't stick to those. So let's just say, hey, man, go out there and just stand and bang with him, man. Okay, and he stuck to it. I liked it.
Well, how'd that work out? I guess it was actually working pretty good.
Dude, he was pretty good. I think he lacks the power, man. Okay, he was definitely connecting with a lot of shots in a row. I mean, at one point, it looks like Cole Miller is getting his head boxed like a speed bag, man. But, you know, he never really could knock him out or anything like that. And then when he just got on the ground, Gugel, you know, in the third round, just got sloppy as fuck, you know, for being a black belt, left an arm in there while he's trying to pass guard.
He
got triangle choked.
How embarrassing is that? I mean, you're a black belt, and not just, you know, you bought your black belt, you know, down at the Walmart, you know. I mean, this guy's a legit black belt.
It's a little less embarrassing than the guy from UFC 85 that was got tapped out to a blue belt in a triangle.
Yeah, the former, I think he was, like, a world, you know, jiu-jitsu champion and stuff, and he got, you know, tapped out by a blue belt. But yeah, I mean, Cole Miller, just a purple belt. George Michelle, longtime black belt, a guy that's training UFC fighters such as your boy, Rich Franklin, man. Big buddies of George Michelle, obviously. And then also a guy who I'm a big fan of, Dustin Hazlett. I think Dustin Hazlett would destroy George Michelle, man. I think Hazlett.
Well, they're in a different weight class, man. Come on.
I think Hazlett, man, needs to teach Gugel a few things after this fight, dude, about, you know, actually using your freaking jiu-jitsu, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, there's plenty of guys that can go out there and just throw punches and lose fights, but you're never going to go anywhere, you know, unless you win. You know, being exciting is certainly important, but winning, I think, is even more important. And, you know, like you said, Gugel, he gets caught in a triangle choke. He tried to escape. I mean, there's probably about, I'd say, you know, 30 seconds or something left when Cole Miller locks in the triangle, had it in very deep. He rolls over to, like, a triangle from the, you know, top position. They roll through even more, and with only, like, you know, 14 seconds left, Gugel was just not able at all to hang on. He was forced to tap. How humiliating is that? I mean, because I thought he was winning the third round up until that point. I thought he was well on his way to winning the decision, 2-1, and then he gets caught in that triangle, and his forced attack with just seconds left on the clock. He's a black belt. Cole Miller just a purple belt. That's pretty sad in my book. And I think George Gugel just needs to stick to training fighters and let the, you know, fighting be done by people with a little bit more ring smarts.
Wow, dude. I tell you right now, when we get to Rampage and Forrest Griffin discussion here, man, I've actually got the official judging scorecards, man, and I'm going to prove to you just how much of a farce and a sham that decision was, by the way, dude. Shockingly, these scorecards are making me sick just looking at them.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think Forrest, he earned every bit of it, dude. But we'll see.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about the next fight here. Of course, we got Gabriel Napal Gonzaga versus Justin McCulley. McCulley, known for his groundwork, man. I mean, this guy is a black belt.
Yeah.
I thought they'd be pretty even on the ground. I mean, Gonzaga's a black belt, so is McCulley.
Yeah, well, McCulley, like I said, he's the kind of guy, I don't know who he tricked in to give him a black belt, but I don't believe that bullshit. Gabriel Gonzaga, though, he is a very, very high-level jiu-jitsu guy. He's very good. He's just big. He's thick, you know, as they would say, that one announcer from Yon.
This guy is a Brazilian monster, man.
He looks like, you know, Blanca or whatever from Street Fighter. He's just a big, hairy beast in there, man. And he manhandled – I mean, that leg kick, that cut kick, was pretty sick. Now, obviously, McCulley was throwing a kick of his own, and Gonzaga just comes and just kicks his feet right out from under him, drops him hard, full mount, and then just taps him with a, you know, Americana, and it was, you know, it was pretty sick, the domination of Gabriel Gonzaga over Justin McCulley. McCulley, longtime guy, likes to talk a lot of, crap. I don't think he really talks crap, but he likes to, you know, kind of hype himself up a little bit on inside MMA and programs like that. But in the ring, the guy just, I don't know, I don't see it. You know, Gabriel Gonzaga, this was just kind of a rebound fight for him because he's coming off two big losses, and he handily destroys Justin McCulley in this fight.
Wow, dude, I'm just inspecting these scorecards even more, man. Wow, this is the first time I've ever been this shocked during the middle of a podcast actually seeing some notes here, dude. I'm calling a work. This is a fix, dude. UFC bought these judges,
no,
man.
I called it right away, dude. I told you.
You're insane when you see the actual scorecards. Because I'm going to let you, we even get into this, man.
Well,
but anyway, let's just go ahead and move on here because I'm getting very upset.
I don't care what the scorecard says. I know who won that fight, and I know it was Forrest Griffin. I don't care how
well,
these
you don't know. You don't know shit, dude. And you know, anyway, Gonzaga gets that key lock, tap out, 157 of that round, dude. He looked very impressive. Justin McCulley is a guy that shouldn't be in the UFC, but their heavyweight division is so weak, they really need cans like him, I guess, around. But let's move on to Tyson Griffin versus Marcus Aurelio. And just overall, this was you know, a fight that was very disappointing. I had picked Aurelio coming into this. I mean, he does have an extensive jiu-jitsu background. I'm thinking he's a third-degree black belt. And I don't know. He was just getting dominated on the feet, but it wasn't even that exciting. It was just more of like a sparring match that Tyson Griffin was winning. He wins every round, basically. And the only real time that Marcus Aurelio looked like he had a shot was when he was getting taken down and, getting guard from his back and trying, you know, several different submission attempts, and none of them really, worked to fruition. But just, you know, kind of a lackluster fight. And Tyson Griffin, of course, wins by unanimous decision.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Basically, Griffin just... And this was, like I said, this was a fight that wasn't particularly exciting. Aurelio, high-level jiu-jitsu guy, but he just never got an opportunity to really use it at all. A lot of the fight stayed standing with Griffin kind of controlling the stand-up fight. The few times that the fight did hit the ground, it was all Aurelio on his back, and Griffin just trying to do some ground and pound from the guard. Aurelio tried to get, some arm bars. He went for him several times. Just, wasn't able to actually pull anything off. Aurelio, though, I mean, it's kind of, surprising that a guy that went from beating, Tuck Norigomi has kind of fallen off as much as he has, losing, I think, his last two fights to my boy Clay Guida and then now to Tyson Griffin. But like I said, this is a good win for Griffin, a guy I think who is putting himself into contention to get a shot at that lightweight title. Not that I think he could really beat BJ Penn, necessarily, but he's a guy, I think, who deserves a chance.
Yeah. Oh, my mic somehow got muted there. Yeah, he definitely, he kind of lost his title shot. I think he fought Kenny Florian for a title shot and lost that. So he's a guy that's just got to kind of work his way back up through there, man. I think he needs maybe another win or two before he, gets that lightweight title shot.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's won three in a row now. He beat Clay Guida.
No, I was wrong. He lost to Frankie Edgar. Never mind.
Yeah, he's actually lost four in a row, or won four in a row, excuse me. He beat Clay Guida, Thiago Tavares, Gleason Tebow, and then, of course, this win here over Marcus Aurelio. So that's some pretty good, pretty good wins he's strung together. He's got an impressive record of 12-1. So, maybe one more win. I think he could be in line. I think the next guy to get a shot should be the winner of perhaps the Florian fight against Roger Huerta. Yeah, Roger Huerta. And, but, yeah, I mean, I think he could be in line after that, perhaps.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on. This next fight, of course, we're talking about Josh Koscheck versus Chris Lights Out Lytle. Man, coming into this fight, You know, Lytle is, we knew Lytle was going to be dangerous on the feet. Definitely, you know, he has a very good striking background. Koscheck, of course, it's been well documented how he basically doesn't work anything but stand up for the last 2 years almost. I mean, he has that wrestling background. He may be considered, you know, the best wrestler in that division other than George St. Pierre. But he has good stand-up now, and he kept his standing up. They kind of banged it out in the first round. You know, it really wasn't nothing spectacular. Koscheck did look good, though. But starting in that second round and the third round, basically Koscheck, once he got him down, brutally elbowed the hell out of Chris Lytle. He opened a huge gash over his eye that bled profusely. You know, he bled a lot in that second round. They didn't really, couldn't really stop it. So when he come out to the third round, he was bleeding already, just standing there. And he got elbowed and cut up more in that third round. It was just a bloody mess. And I was amazed that Evil Levine didn't jump in here and stop this fight. He actually just stands him up and kind of, you know, at this point, Koscheck looked like he was almost gassing a little bit from just raining so many elbows down on this kid that, you know, Lytle tried to put a couple of flurries on there at the end, but he was just so gassed and just so dead that, you know, there was nothing to it. So, you know, that was a brutal win for Josh Koscheck. He wins it, of course, by unanimous decision. And you got a couple of 10-8 rounds in there for some of the judges.
Yeah, I think that second round was probably 10-8. This was a bloodbath, pretty much, is what this turned out to be. Pretty nasty. I think it maybe deserved, it needed to be stopped in the second round. I mean, literally the puddles of blood that were, I mean, if you didn't see his fight, there was literally just streaks, like you could see like a whole swath, you know, 7 or 8 inches wide of blood that was just, you know, painting the canvas. It was very, very nasty. The cut was pretty bad. It was right over his eye. It probably didn't need to be been stopped. I guess he made it through without getting hurt too badly. But, you know, I mean, it probably should have been stopped. I figured the doctor would probably stop it after the second round, judging by all the blood that had been lost. And then certainly I thought Levine was going to get in there and stop it, but he didn't. Regardless, though, Koscheck completely dominant in the fight, and, you know, he takes the win. Koscheck, you know, it wasn't the most exciting fight, even though he did just completely, you know, bleed him out almost. It was a lot of just, I mean, he really wasn't doing that much damage. He was just cutting him up real bad with the elbows. I mean, he wasn't really in danger of knocking him out at any point. I think the only way he may have wobbled him is just by blood loss. And he cut him up real bad, but like I said, I don't think he necessarily damaged him too much with the ground and pound. Certainly controlled him for most of the fight with his, you know, his superior wrestling ability.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a brutal win. This, you know, moves Josh Koscheck up that welterweight ladder. You know, he looks like a guy that could be in line for get another title shot. You know, maybe he'll have to take on Diego Sanchez again. We're not sure. He did lose rather convincingly to George St. Pierre. So, I would like his chances at a title shot better if John Fitch actually beats GSP in that match. But let's go ahead and move on. Of course, we're talking about Joe Stevenson versus Gleison Tibau. Stevenson, this is his first fight back off that bloody title fight that he had against BJ Penn where he lost. And, you know, and this is another first round that was kind of uneventful. You know, they exchanged a little bit on the feet, but Tibau gets Stevenson down and actually transitions into a very nice omoplata attempt. You rarely see these attempts get, you know, that deep on someone where they're almost ready to finish it. It's very hard to finish an omoplata, and the MMA just guys don't have to defend it so well. But he had it in, and Stevenson was definitely called in. He couldn't pull out. He was just able to defend it by hanging on and not letting it get put in, you know, full force to where he would have had to tapped out.
What do you think about the kind of showmanship of Joe Daddy Stevenson sort of mocking Gleason Tebow, saying, you know, hey, what are you doing? Just go ahead and stand us up here because he ain't going anywhere with this on the plot. It was basically a stalemate.
It's just basically gamesmanship, dude. It's kind of that stuff. He's trying to piss him off. Maybe he'll, you know, mess up somehow, loosen it up a little bit. He'll get out, or, you know, he'll try to reach up and punch him, or the referee will actually just stand it up because Stevenson's just acting like he's so calm, it's not even hurting him and stuff like that. I mean, it's total gamesmanship. I don't make nothing of it.
How would you score that round? Do you score in favor of Tebow for the attempt or for Stevenson for his defense of it for so long, you know?
I don't know. I mean, you may give that to Tebow. I mean, it's a very close round. And, you know, ultimately it wouldn't matter because when it come out in the second round, Tebow, you know, looks good at the start of it, but he tries to get a takedown on Joe Stevenson. And this is Joe Stevenson's trademark, man. Basically, is when he gets a chance to sink in a guillotine, man, he hits over, basically. He shoots in for a takedown. He gets the guillotine underneath his chin tight. He jumps the guard, falls down, and just squeezes on it big time. It's over. 257 of the second round. Joe Stevenson wins by tap out to guillotine choke.
I was very surprised by the way this ended. I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere. You know, one minute, it looks, you know, just like nothing really is going on. Shoots kind of for a takedown. He gets stuffed. He puts him in the guillotine, and then he quickly taps him out. You know, Joe Stevenson, as you said, I guess known for his constricting abilities with his arms to finish him. I mean, he had an arm in, and he still quickly taps him with a guillotine choke.
Yeah,
very impressive.
He's one of those guys, when he gets a deep guillotine on – I can't hardly say that word for some reason. When he gets a deep guillotine in on you, it's basically over, man. He's one of the few guys that can really squeeze it down. Doesn't matter if there's an arm in there or not. And really tap a guy out. It's a very dangerous weapon for a Joe Stevenson. Let's talk about this next fight, though. Patrick the Predator Cote taking on Ricardo Almeida. There was a lot of talk coming to this fight that the winner of this may be next in line at 185. I actually want to ask you about this early on. What do you think about what Yushin Okami thinks about this?
I think Okami's clearly got it, deserves a shot. I don't see any reason why Cote or
Almeida. Well, a lot of people would just bring up the fact that, you know, he lost to Rich Franklin, and what's giving him the title shot? He beat an over-the-hill Evan Tanner?
Yeah, I mean, well, he's got plenty. The only loss he has in the UFC is to Rich Franklin, which was a pretty close fight. Maybe you want to have him fight Rich Franklin again. I don't know. I just think, who else is there? Is Patrick Cote so impressive that he, you know, just jumps off the page and saying this is a guy that deserves
a
shot?
Beating Ricardo Almeida, which, of course, I guess we gave it away there. He does beat Ricardo Almeida in this by split decision. You know, that's a big win for a guy like him. I mean, look at this. You know, he was on that losing streak, but he's really come back. He's beat Scott Smith. He's beat Jason Day, Kendall Grove, Drew McFedries, and now, you know, Ricardo Almeida.
Let me ask you, where's
there really to go?
Who in there is supposed to jump out and really impress me, you know, those wins? Scott Smith, maybe? I mean,
Ricardo Almeida, dude's a good win. Drew McFedries knocking him out at a minute 44. I mean, you know, basically it's just we're looking for a matchup, man. He's knocked out two guys, Kendall Grove, Drew McFedries, in impressive fashion, you know, coming into this fight. So you're just looking at a guy who has that good striking background. It's going to be a good, exciting fight.
Well,
man.
Like I said, Kendall Grove, a guy that just recently finally picks up a win over Evan Tanner after losing several in a row.
Here's what I would say, man. Michael Bisping, you know, is a little too early for him in the 185-pound division. But this is why they would do this. Just think about it. Yushin Okami is a boring fight for Anderson Silva, man, I think. Compared to Patrick Cote, who's going to stand there and bang.
Well, I mean,
Okami,
it doesn't matter if it's
exciting
or boring. Okami
is a fighter that has got a reputation now of basically he stalls, man. I mean, he doesn't want to do anything hardly. In the first rounds, he's a very slow starter, and then when he does start, he basically just tries to wrestle with you, man. I mean, he doesn't have effective striking. or anything like that. I mean, you put Patrick Cote in there, man. Him and Anderson Silva are going to bang it out. It's going to be a very exciting fight.
Well, who
even knows what's going to happen with that division, by the way? Now that Anderson Silva's at 205, I mean, who knows when he'll defend the title, if he will. He may just drop it, and they'll have to have some kind of, title eliminator or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think regardless of whether or not it's going to be an exciting fight or a boring fight, I think Okami deserves his chance more than Cote. I think Cote's got a couple wins. But he hasn't really fought anyone before Almeida. Now, beating Almeida is pretty impressive, I suppose. But up until this point, he really didn't have any kind of big wins or anything under his belt. Whatever. We'll see. I certainly don't think he's clearly more deserving.
I think the loss to Rich Franklin just plays heavy on him. I mean, he lost to a guy that Anderson Silva destroyed.
Yeah, but
twice.
Cote's got defeated by guys in the UFC, man, like Travis Luter, He's lost to guys.
Travis Luter. Well, that was back on the Ultimate Fighter 4, man. Come on.
Yeah, coming into this in the UFC, before these, wins he's rolled off, he had lost 4 straight fights in the UFC and was basically out of the UFC almost. I mean, he had lost to Ortiz, Joe Dirksen, Chris Leben, then Travis Luter, and now he's come around and beat some guys. But, I don't know. He just doesn't jump off the page as a guy that I think is necessarily a top contender. He's a good fighter, and he's on his way back up, but I don't think he's more deserving than Yushin Okami. But let's talk about this fight. And I'll just simply say right now about this fight, me personally, I don't even think he was that impressive in this fight. I would have scored it for Ricardo Almeida.
It wasn't that impressive of a fight. Almeida definitely looked strong in that first round. He easily takes it. There's no controversy in that. And then basically the final two rounds, it's kind of hard to judge.
Thinking about win either way, and I would give the third round probably to Almeida. I mean, in my book,
I don't know about that. It was basically a kickboxing match in the second and third rounds, and I think Cote just had the sharper, more damaging blows than that. He just looked like, that he was winning those exchanges and stuff like that. I mean, it definitely was close, but again, This is a 10-point must system, round fighting scoring system. It's not like a dream where they have the, judging it by the whole fight where, maybe you make a different decision here. But based on that, if you give him those second and third rounds, barely eking him out, even though Almeida won the only decisive round in the fight, then, he loses the fight. It's just how it happens. I mean,
I don't know. Like I said, I think you could argue that he won that third round. I think he dominated the first round, essentially. Second round, I would probably give that to Cote. I don't know. I mean, certainly one of the judges agreed with me. It was a split decision. Almeida got the win on one judge's scorecard. Cote picks up the other two judges. But, he didn't really blow me away, impressively here in this fight. I don't know. I just, like I said, I think, I think Okami deserves it more than Cote at this point. But we'll see, we'll see what they go with it. I think if they put Cote with Anderson Silva, Anderson Silva will kill him.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to, we'll have to see. All we want to need now is just throw guys at Anderson Silva, basically, man. I mean, he's beaten the top guys in there, like the Franklins and stuff like that. Now they just got to kind of throw guys to get on a winning streak at him and see, somebody, impresses, basically. Let's move on to the main event now. The real story coming out of this. Of course, Quentin Rampage Jackson, the defending light heavyweight champion against Forrest Griffin, as they like to bill him, the original Ultimate Fighter. So now I just want to go ahead and take the chance to have you give us your official scorecard here, man, just to prove a point that I'm going to make here. So how did you score this fight, round by round?
First round, 10-9 Jackson. Second round, 10-8 Griffin. Third round, I'd score it 10-9 Griffin. Fourth round, 10-9 Jackson. Fifth round, 10-9 Griffin. So that would make it a, let me see, add this up here real quick. I believe that would be 48-46 in favor of Forrest Griffin by my score, winning 3 out of the 5 rounds, one of them being a 10-8 round. And so, now how did the judges score it? I mean, their scores were 48-46, which I understand. 48-46, again, I understand. And then 49-46, which I don't really as much see that, but, you know, whatever. I mean, they're giving him 4 out of the 5 rounds. I don't really necessarily agree with that. But some judges give something crazy, like give the first round to Forrest or something like that? I mean, I don't even think it's that crazy, but yeah, think you definitely say Jackson.
Damn it, I've actually lost the scorecards. Hold on. Talk about the fight real quick here while I find it.
Well, okay, let me talk a little bit about this action then.
Dude, talk about that second round, dude, which, by the way, I think – definitely hurt Jackson in this.
Well, I'll just start kind of running down this fight here for us, round by round.
You don't have to do it all, but I'm just saying, talk about that second round, though, where Jackson hurt his leg.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, all right, first round is pretty close. Some good exchanges. It looked like anytime Rampage connected, he was doing some real power staggering Forrest. He basically is one. The reason why I give him the round was he hit a devastating right uppercut that collapsed the canvas.
All right, we can just go ahead and cut right in here and show you where the sham begins. Okay, are you ready for this? All right. I mean, it's literally, this is. Are you ready to hear the biggest fix job in the UFC, man?
Let's hear it. I'm not hearing anything.
The first round, dude. Okay, keep in mind, only Nelson Hamilton gave Quentin Jackson this round. Two of the judges said Forrest Griffin won the first round.
I mean, like I said, dude, I think it was pretty damn close. I mean, yeah, he lands that uppercut, but what happened was he gets on top of Forrest, does nothing on top. Forrest ties him up very well and ended up getting back to his feet. And, I didn't think it was – I think up until the uppercut, it was all Forrest Griffin. He was getting a lot of points, scoring with strikes. Basically, Quinn, the reason why everybody wants to give him that round is he landed that one uppercut and they thought he almost finished Forrest. I don't really think Forrest was in that much trouble. It looked really, really bad, but – after he didn't follow up in any way to put Forrest Griffin out of this fight. I don't think it was that dominant. You know, so I would give it to Jackson, yeah, but I don't think it's that scandalous that someone could say Forrest Griffin won that round.
All right. So round two definitely, is not in question. Forrest Griffin landed that leg kick. He hurt him. He mounted him. You know, but I contend, dude, to say that it was not a 10-8 round because he didn't do any damage from that mount. You know, he had it on him, but he wasn't damaging a lot of it. He's looking more for a submission, and, you know, at the time I thought, you know, that was a major mistake for him. He should have been posturing up and trying to rain down some blows.
I agree with that. I mean, I think perhaps it was a little bit of maybe fear, you know, or he's trying to respect the tremendous power and strength of Quentin Jackson. You know, if you posture up, yeah, you can land strikes, but that also makes it easier for your opponent to buck you off. You stay on top of them, just pinning them down. You at least
maintain the
position.
And this shows you again how these judges are just so awkward, man, okay? All three of them gave the round to Forrest Griffin, but only two of them scored it 10-8.
Well, I think, yeah, you could say it wasn't a 10-9 round or 10-8 round. I would say it was because he had a full mount for, like, you know, a long time, a couple of minutes.
But trust me, you'll see how later on this just, again, how this just proves all the judges are just, they're not saying the same thing.
Get your chin full hat off.
Now let's look at round three, man. Round three, all judges score it Griffin.
I think Griffin won that round, dude. I mean, what did you see that made you think, Jackson should have won that?
Well, dude, Jackson, I think he recovered well from those leg kicks that landed, and I think he landed more of the damaging blows, man.
I just think, you know, it was all just stick and move from Griffin this entire round, you know. There was only one blow that I think that really was damaging for Rampage in the entire round.
Well, basically,
was that body shot.
Not to go by this round by round, I'm just going to give you each judge's scorecard. Roy Siebert had it 49-46 with only round four for Jackson. Are you kidding me? Do you think that guy knows how to judge a fight? Are you kidding me?
I don't necessarily agree with that, no.
That guy's a fool.
But, I mean, like I said, what did he say? Only round four?
How did he get 49, by the way, man?
There's 50 points.
No, never mind. Yeah.
Math orgs. Org.
No, I mean, but I'm just saying, how did he get 49? I mean, clearly, Jackson has to win more than one round, and the round he gives him is round four. Quentin Jackson's clearly best round was round one. Round four could be highly disputed.
I just didn't think round one was that
good. So you think that guy knows anything? They should have took his judge's scorecard and just ripped it up.
He just wrote numbers down, man.
He didn't even watch the fight.
I don't necessarily agree with it, but round one was – go back and watch it.
Okay, now let's go to Judge Nelson Hamilton, okay? He gives it 48-46 with rounds 1 and 4 for Jackson. Griffin getting 2-10-8.
2-10-8? How is that possible?
No, he's getting round 2-10-8. They didn't tell the rest of the rounds he won. But, okay,
well,
that so
that
guy, I mean, that's totally contradictory to the last judge. Okay, again,
well,
none of the judges' scorecards were even accurate, man, okay? Let's go to Judge Adelie Bird, or whatever the hell his name is, who scored at 48-46, but listen to this.
Yeah.
He gave rounds 4 and 5 to Jackson, with Griffin getting 1, 2, and 3. What? None of the judges scored any of the rounds the same. Except round 4, which could be highly debated. Are you kidding me?
Every one of these rounds were pretty close except for round 2.
How could round 1 be close, man? Are you kidding me?
Go back and watch it, dude. One punch is all
you
need.
He landed a huge uppercut that rocked.
That's all he landed.
That's all he needs. Forrest did nothing.
Yeah, Forrest,
what did Forrest do?
Forrest landed some.
So here's what you gotta say. He landed one damaging punch and almost ended the fight. And then, okay, what did Griffin do? Griffin didn't do anything.
It wasn't that bad.
When you see score cards like that, man, where only one judge gave Rampage round 1, and that was clearly his best round in the fight, yet they gave him rounds 4 and 5, and one judge only gives him round 4.
Get that 10-4 hat off your head.
That's stupid. Judges don't even know what they're watching now, man. That is not MMA scoring, man. Come on.
You're foolish, dude. I think the right person.
I think you're being fucking ridiculous. The way you scored it, and then you're trying to defend somebody that just gave rounds 4 and 5. To him and only gave him one round and one scorecard, round 4. Are you kidding me? Why don't you have the dignity to say, dude, these judges got it wrong.
Look,
those are the wrong scorecards.
Look, maybe they saw the rounds different, but they saw the right winner.
Well, that just seems oddly suspicious to me how they could completely miss round 1 and only one guy was actually awake for round 1, I guess.
Well, back and watch it, dude. Like I said, man, I told you right off the bat, it was damn close.
My official decision, when I got done watching that fight, the first thing that popped to my head was that was a draw.
No.
I think Griffin got a 10-8 round, but Rampage took, 3 rounds to 2.
No, I don't think
so. And it was
going
to be a draw.
I don't think.
Yes.
I think he took 3 rounds, and one of them was 10-8.
I think Rampage won the first round. He definitely won the fourth round also. And then you could debate whether he won rounds 3 or 5.
No.
I definitely think it was a draw.
I don't think
man.
He won either of those. But, I mean, it's possible it's debatable, but I don't think he won certainly not both of them or either one of them, you know?
All I'm saying is, dude, it was a very close decision. I think it was a draw. But I'm thinking these judges' scorecards, there is no way in the world they actually saw the fight like that, man. Wrote that down.
Let me just say some other stuff here, okay? This shit that Rampage was talking? He said, I guarantee you, the judges don't even need to show up. I guarantee you it won't make it the distance. Well, he was.
Well, Forrest is a tough guy, dude. But Rampage was landing some big time shots on him, man. Okay, trust me, Forrest is a tough guy. But Rampage was actually going out there to finish his fight.
He barely brought the offense.
He won the stand up. He won the stand up war, man. Trust me.
He was never really bringing the offense to Forrest Griffin at any point, dude.
Are you kidding me?
Because his leg nearly got kicked clean out from underneath him, dude.
Oh, man, come on. You're as blind as these judges, dude.
Yeah, well, you're just, look, you know, you're just on, get off that bandwagon for Rampage. Okay, the wheels
dude,
gotta
I'm not,
on
I'm,
that
listen,
wagon.
Listen, I could totally understand if the judge, if all those judges' scorecards had been like yours, I could have understood that, man, but come on. After seeing these judges' scorecards, dude, none of them seem credible.
Well, dude.
None of those seem credible.
Like I said, there are some crazy scores. You know, if Rampage thinks he's such a badass, he should have never let it go into the judges' scorecard. He got himself in this mess, and at the end of the day, I think they made the right choice. They made the right decision.
I think with judges' scorecards like that, they have to do an immediate rematch, and I would have to favor Rampage in that rematch, dude. I think he's going to come in prepared for those leg kicks, dude, and he will knock him out this time.
We'll see. I think
that. But I just find it crazy how, you know, you'll just try to contend that Forrest Griffin won, but you're not addressing the fact of the scorecards, man. You're not calling these judges' credibility into question with crazy, ridiculous
like
scores
said,
like 49-46 with only round four for Jackson.
If they would have let the wrong person win, then I would be upset about it. But I think they still ruled in the favor of the right person.
That, you're like they're saying, they're like, yeah, I think Forrest won, but I'll just write down whatever on the scorecard. How about writing down the fucking facts? How do we know who won if they were just writing down crazy stuff on that scorecard?
Well, they might have took some different streets, but they got to the same destination, man.
This is stupid, man.
Forrest Griffin winning this fight.
That's like they just watched it to the end, and they're like, oh, man, I think we're supposed to fill some numbers in here, man. It's like, oh, I think Forrest Griffin won. It's like, we don't want to look like we cheated off each other, so let's all make up different answers. That's exactly how it happened,
no,
I think, man.
No.
Yeah, it's just like in school, man. It's like one guy come out the answer, one guy's like, yeah, dude, I think Forrest won. It's like, we don't want to let Dana know that we didn't all do the work here, so all you guys come up with something different down here on the scorecard.
Why they give a damn what Dana thinks? I mean, they don't work for Dana White. I mean, get that tinfoil hat off, dude. Seriously. I mean,
I don't know, dude. I'm telling you, it's very questionable.
There was no
man fix.
Forrest won it fair and square because he wanted it more. He had a great game plan. He executed it to perfection.
I think, again, I think it was a draw.
Quint just got way too cocky, dude. He thought he was going to destroy, Forrest Griffin. And Forrest Griffin, they got to give the guy credit. He's just got so much heart. It's insane. And I said back a long time ago when I first heard about this fight, I said, I hope someone kind of takes Rampage down a peg or two, and I hope Forrest Griffin beats him. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm happy. Even though in our fantasy pick-em, I picked Forrest Griffin because I did think he would win. I was pulling for Forrest the entire time, and he came through, you know? He came through with a win. And you were openly pulling for Rampage. So I think both of us are a little bit biased. I wanted to see Griffin win, and I think he did, and the judges agreed. You wanted to see Rampage win, so that's how you're going to see it, man. Especially when it was extremely close. Yes, I think it just basically demands an immediate, you know, rematch in about, you know, another 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Dude, that's just pretty absurd scoring. That's all I got to say about it, man. It's absurd scoring. And I think that if you didn't give that 10-8 round in there, that he doesn't win it. I still think it's a draw, and I think Rampage wins without the 10-8 score. And, you know, it's highly debatable whether that should have been 10-8, man. Just because you have someone mounted, you got to do something with it. You know, he was just basically riding him.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I just don't see what, other than that one big hook, at any point, I don't think Forrest was in that much trouble in this entire fight, man. He got tagged a few times, but, you know, I think his full mount was the closest either man really came.
Look at this. Look at this. Hold on. There is no way in the world, dude, that this fight was any more than 1 point apart, man. It was that close. Coming to that fight, did you think it was really that dominating where Griffin dominated the fight? Come on, be serious.
I think it was
at least a 48-47 decision either way, man, if not a 47-47 draw.
You could say that. I think the only reason, I mean, he won three out of the five rounds. It just happened to be, I think, one of them was a 10-8 round, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, that basically, look, I mean, we could sit here and debate it all day up and down. That's why you need to finish fights, you know, especially if you're the champion. You know that you're not – he had to know, dude, in that fifth round, regardless of what his corner was telling him, he had to know that he was in serious jeopardy of losing this fight. But the thing was, he, you know, like I said, he even admitted, dude, he was hurt a lot worse than he wanted to put on that – again, you were trying to say, I'm telling you, dude, I was like, that leg is in bad shape, dude. Every time he tries to go forward and throw punches and has to put pressure on that knee, you know, it's causing him to shake. What happened, dude? He got hurt. He got hurt pretty good, man, with those leg kicks. He just wasn't ready to defend him, dude, and it threw his whole game plan off the rest of the fight. You could say maybe Forrest got lucky to injure his leg that bad, but he hurt him a lot more than Rampage was letting on, dude. And that threw his whole game plan off, and I think that's what made the difference for Forrest Griffin in this fight. And he won. That's the end of the day. You know, he won the fight. I think we need to see a rematch, and I think it's going to be huge, dude. It's going to be one of the biggest rematches in UFC history. And a great story, though, for Forrest Griffin, man, coming from the Ultimate Fighter, winning the first season, to now winning the light heavyweight championship, the most hotly contested prize in all of mixed martial arts, perhaps. Just tremendous story for Forrest Griffin. And, you know, he might not be the best fighter in the world, but, you know, I don't think anyone, you know, works harder and wants it more than what Forrest Griffin does.
Yeah, I don't know, man. All I know is I definitely want to see this fight again, man. I think it has a different outcome the next time, man. And basically, man, for either one of these to actually get a real decision, they got to finish the fight. You can't leave it up to these judges because, you know, it's clearly been shown that I think MMA judging and judges in particular basically, I don't know. There's no way the scorecard should have been that wildly different, man. That's like they're seeing three different fights. And for someone not to get that first round of Rampage, it clearly shows that I think they were basically biased towards Forrest Griffin, maybe. Who knows? But that's crazy. But anyway, like I said, I definitely want to see this fight again. It has to happen again. That there's nothing settled by this, man. I don't think that Forrest Griffin clearly defeated Rampage and where, you know, when you beat someone, there's no need for a rematch, okay? There was nothing close. I mean, there was nothing decisive about this win. It was razor thin and, you know, basically a draw in my eyes, and I just want to see it again.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get to see that, but I guess that wraps up everything we, you know, we got to say here about this UFC extravaganza, UFC 86 here. I mean, anything else you want to add here before we... I guess that's all we have to talk about here on this show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's it. Let's go ahead and club a couple things. Let's go ahead and plug a few things before we wrap this up. Of course, my website, MMAManUp.com. Be sure to check that out. I know we were on a little hiatus, but we'll definitely be coming with, you know, some regular podcasts. I think we may come at you next with a preview of the Ultimate Fight Night 14 card and the Affliction card going down on the same day, July 19th, as of course in 2 weeks' time. And of course the Man Up inbox, if you want to send us some feedback, some questions, you know, whatever, that's of course MMAManUp@gmail.com.
And of course always my pro wrestling podcast, No Gimmicks Needed. You can find that at ProWrestlingPodcast.com or on iTunes. Just search for No Gimmicks Needed and under the podcast section, and you will find the great podcast that Ashton and I host about the world of professional wrestling. Ashton, any big cards coming up this weekend? Not that I really know of. I know we got the two big cards on the 19th.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything big coming up this weekend.
I gotta say, though, looking here at this Ultimate Fight Night card, to me, I think Affliction clearly far and away the better card to watch.
You definitely gotta watch them both.
Yeah, I mean, you're watch them both. I mean, one's free, but if you could only choose one, it's a hypothetical situation. Affliction far and away the superior card. Anderson Silva, James Irving could be an okay fight. I expect the Spider.
Before we go, man, what do you think about that WAMA belt?
The WAMA title. Explain to people what the WAMA belt is, by the way.
Like, it's World the World Alliance of Mixed Martial Arts. It's basically kind of like this organization body that wants to have rankings on all the weight classes, independent rankings that aren't and in the independent champions that aren't biased towards any one promotion and stuff like that, to find out who the real world champion is and all that stuff. But basically it's kind of a sham right now because the UFC is not involved, so that really limits some of their the top fighters in those classes. But they are sanctioning the official world heavyweight champion title fight between Fedor and Tim Sylvia.
Yeah, I mean, that should be interesting. The WAMA belt, interesting, I guess, to say the least, what that belt looks like. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying here on this card, I mean, we got Silva, James Irving. Might be okay, I suppose. But then Brandon Vera versus Reese Andy. Not familiar with Reese Riptide Andy.
That's his first foray into 205, dude. But come on, you're not excited to see Brandon the Truth Vera?
I guess. I mean, yeah, but the guy, I mean, you know, a guy, like I said, is not too good when they are, for the most part, when they have no photo available. Half this card, man, the guys have no photo available for it.
Wow. Well, what's some other?
Hermes Franca versus Frankie Ayer. That should be a good fight. Then Anthony Rumble Johnson versus Kevin Burns.
Dude, Anthony Johnson, man, I remember both of these guys. Kevin Burns is that kid, dude, that I just remember, that blue belt that submitted that guy. I'm actually
interesting, you know, to see this guy in action again.
And then Anthony Johnson's that guy that just totally destroyed, I forget who it was, but it was insane, man.
Yeah, well, Rumble is going to be an action, like I said, against Kevin Burns. The other fight's Brody Faber, maybe Uriah Faber's brother, I think, actually.
Yeah. Versus Roy Markham, of course, from the IFL, man.
Yeah, Roy Markham. So, I mean, he might be okay.
Basically, they have a lot of IFL guys on here. Yeah. Brad Blackburn.
Yeah, Bad Brad Blackburn versus James Jabu. Dale Hart versus Shannon Guthrie. But all those guys have no picture available, guys.
Those are all may not be broadcast anyway, man. That's the prelims. Then we got.
But, I mean, just you compare this card to Fedor Emelianenko versus Tim Sylvia for that WAMA belt.
Reese Riptide Andy, man. This guy looks tough, man.
I guess so. But, I mean, like I said, you compare that against Fedor versus
Tim Sylvia. Yeah, well, clearly it's for those – it's kind of – yeah, I mean, everyone knows it's basically just a competition card to try to take away pay-per-view buys from Affliction and really hurt them, trying to hook you in with the pound-for-pound best in the world, Anderson Silva, his foray into 205, which will be a good fight, dude. Him and James Irvin, the Sandman, they're definitely going to bang it out on the feet.
Yeah, I mean, when they promoted Anderson Silva versus James Irvin and six other fights, they don't even really elaborate other than to say Brandon Vera is going to be one of them.
And Hermes Franca and Frankie Edgar, that war.
Yeah, they did say that. But, you know, like I said, we'll talk definitely about the preview for both of those cards. Give our
picks. Can't believe you didn't remember Kevin Burns, dude. As soon as I heard that name, I was like, hey, that's that blue belt guy.
Yeah, well, he was a nobody when he won it. And then, we didn't actually watch that
fight.
Kevin
the Fire Burns.
Yeah. Anyway, though, I believe that we've rambled on enough here at the end of the show.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and wrap that up again. Until we come at you with the preview for those two shows, thank you for downloading and thank you for listening.
See you.